We are in Nesivos Shalom on Parshat Noach, page Nun Aleph, Inyan HaTeva Lidorot, the Teva for all generations. Inyan HaMabul, Al Kol Pratav, Nichtav B'Tchilat HaTorah Kedosha. The topic of the Mabul of the Flood, with all of its details, is written at the very beginning of the Torah. U'bivadai, Kol Zeh L'lamed Ba, L'lamed Ba, Deharei HaTorah, Hi Torah Tchayim. And of course, everything that's being taught here is being taught to us because it's Torah Chaim. It's a Torah of life. And it's not Chas V'Shalom just telling us stories. Did everything in the Torah happen? Yes. But is the Torah a storybook? Absolutely not. The Torah is an infinite text coming from HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself. And everything inside the Torah was written because it's for all generations. Every word, every letter in the Torah is eternal. And as he said in an earlier piece, which we didn't read together, that the mabul wasn't necessarily in the realm of onesh. It wasn't a punishment. And again, he explains it in a different piece, but he says that the mabul wasn't really a punishment. There's action and reaction. There's action and reaction. Practically speaking, you just like to do that a little bit differently and softer. There we go. It wasn't in the realm of a punishment. Cause and effect. Action, reaction. The people of that generation destroyed themselves through their sinfulness. And they destroyed the physical world through their sinfulness. Action, reaction. Cause, effect. They created a world that even though it was still there, it was in a state of destruction. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu just finished it off. They brought so much Ra into the world through their actions that they brought the world to the place where it was basically living dead. The world no longer had any life. And as we're going to learn, as you asked before, we're going to be starting Derech Hashem soon. We'll learn Derech Hashem. Everything in reality follows humanity. If humanity lowers itself, if humanity damages itself spiritually, then the world goes down with it. And they brought themselves to their actions to the brink of destruction, to a place of destruction. And so the world was in a place of destruction. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu just brought into the world what they had already created. Cause, effect, action, reaction. Ukemod dichtiv, as it says in the Pasuk, Vayar Elokim et ha'aretz, HaKadosh Baruch Hu surveyed the land, v'hinei nishchata, and it was destroyed. Meaning he looked at it, he said, the world is gone, it's not here. You see a world, but it's not here anymore. The sins are in it, the ra is in it. Shara'a HaKadosh Baruch Hu sha'abriya kula nishchata, ad shekvar enena yicholah la'amshichu litkayem. He saw that the world was so damaged that it couldn't continue on. It had no existence, it had no life. As the Medrash says, that generation was over all of the big three all the time. They were over on idolatry, adultery, murder. Reality transformed to a place where it was kula ra. It was completely ra. And with this understanding, again in the other piece, where he talks about what sins, what type of sins, to what extent, how this happens, that the sins of human beings can mamish bring the world to a place of destruction, along with this, Shadam chote bechadre chadarim, ve'ezo shchitut v'tum'ah hu machnis bechol abriyah. How much a person can bring tuma and ra, impurity, evil into the world through their actions. Yachad im ze, more otanu haTorah kedosha et haTikun lamatzav. HaKadosh Baruch Hu also teaches us
how to fix such a thing. What do I do in such a situation? What do I do in such a world?
The matzav kazeh shel dor mulu. What do I do if I live in a generation of the flood?
What do I do? How do I survive that? Shehu al yidei tevat Noach. And what is the way? Through the ark of Noach. Noach's ark is the salvation from a world of ra. Noach's ark is a salvation from a world of destruction.
And just like in reality, there was such a thing called Tevat Noach, the Ark of Noach. So too on an individual level, there's a concept of Tevat Noach. Each one of us has the opportunity to enter into these arcs.
Koach shmirash natana kadosh baruch hu leval titpashet od shkitut kazo.
A koach of shmirah, a protection on us that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us, that we aren't touched, impacted by this destruction that's around us.
Shegamim Yehudi chote, that even if a person sins, chas v'shalom, shchitut kazo lo tiyeh, that there's not this reality of destruction by him. V'yedesh tiyeh pinat Torah mikol advrim ha-mapitzim shchitut, that there's a corner of purity where there's no destruction.
What he's going to open up here, and this is one of the pieces that I like to do every year because it's such a powerful concept.
Parshat Noach teaches us that there is a concept that the world can reach a reality of destruction. A reality of Ra where it's totally turned over in a way that there is no hope. It's gone.
The flood was simply enacting what the human beings had already done. But in reality that we live in, while we're told that such a reality is never going to occur again, where the whole world is going to reach its a place where HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to have to destroy it with a flood. There are times in people's lives, not everyone's life, but also in a relative scale, yes, everybody's life to more or less, where we enter situations where we're mamish living in Torah Mabul, where we're living in a reality of hashchata, where we're living in a reality of destruction, of ra. And that could be in any situation, depending on our circumstances. No judgments, I'm not asking for examples. It could be that you come from a hometown where there's not a lot of Jews, there's not a strong Jewish community, and when you go back, your hometown is a place of hashkata. I've worked with so many alumni through going back home. I have no kosher kitchen, I have no minyan, I have no place to daven, I don't have kosher food. It's painful. There are some students I've had to speak to, their parents are mamish taking them to non-kosher restaurants. What do I do in such a situation? They want me to call them on Shabbos. People could have made early decision contracts with colleges, which they decide are not necessarily the best place to go to for a nice, good Jewish soul. And you can go into a situation where, yeah, you're surrounded by tumah. You can end up in a work environment later on in life where you decided to go a certain route and you're working in a certain place and the people around you, the way they speak, what they talk about, how they interact with each other, what they do on their off time, what they expect you to do with them on their off time. You could be in a reality of hashchata. And the question is, when you're in a place of life, in reality where you're living in Dor HaMabul, or, and I believe he's going to get into this also in the piece, or lo aleinu, if a person sins, and I feel like I am hashkata, I am ra, where do I turn to inside to weather that storm? How do I get through that inner mubble to be able to get out the other side when everything feels like it's falling apart, when everything feels like it's being destroyed, when I've made bad choices? I've made very bad choices. And there's no hope. The answer is always hope. And that hope is, tells us this parsha, teva. There's always a teva. Everything in the Torah is eternal. And in any situation where you find yourself in a mabul, there is always a teva. And the question is, what is that teva? So let's see what he says in terms of what is that teva. Next paragraph. V'yesh lomar. Kama drachim al derech ha'avoda b'inyan tevat noach ashriach lechol echad ve'echad.
So we can say, we can explain that there are a few ways in terms of our avodas Hashem, in terms of a teva that's connected to each one of us. What is this teva that we have? What teva can I recede to when my inner world or my outer world is falling apart? When my inner world or my outer world is steeped in sin, what's that teva that I have? Aleph, what's the first one? Kedi'ita b'Zohar HaKadosh, as the Zohar says, Shenoach miromeis al Shabbos Kodesh. One he says is that Noach hints to Shabbos. Debahayom anaycha la'ela uvenaycha la'tata'i.
Because on that day there is rest above and rest below.
Uvet Avram ita b'shem harav HaKadosh miLublin. And the Beis Avram brings down from the Rav miLublin al ma'amar ha'katuv that the pasuk says, v'noach matzachein be'enei Hashem. It says that Noach found chein in the eyes of God, whatever chein is, which is a fascinating word in so many layers. Chein, whatever that means. Also interesting that chein, if you flip the letters, what do you get?
Noach.
That somehow Noach is mamish, a reality of chein. Noach matza chein be'enei Hashem. Noach found chein in the eyes of Hashem. Shemikodem ketiv et kol ha'avirot ha'chamurim. Shayu ba'oto ador. Right before it, at the end of Parshat Bereishit, it listed all of the terrible sins that were going on in that generation. Ki rabba ra'at ha'adam, how terrible the sins of man were. Vatishachet ta'aretz lifnei Elokim, that the world was mamish destroyed before HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'acharkach, and then afterward it says, v'noach matzachin b'nei Hashem, that Noach found chein in the eyes of Hashem. Shu'alpi divrei azor ha'kadosh shenoach yishavis. Why? Because the Zohar HaKadosh brings down that Noach, in his essence, was connected very deeply to the reality of Shabbos. Noach was Shabbos. Noach was somehow, in his essence, connected in a deep way to the reality of Shabbos.
One second.
V'hainu, shal yidea Shabbos Kodesh. What does it show to us? That through Shabbos, v'kochol shel yudi lihichaleitz mikol ininim ha'elu. Through Shabbos, you can disconnect from all of these things. U'kemamar chazal. Let's finish the paragraph and then we'll talk it out. Okemamar Chazal, Shekol HaShomer Shabbat Kilcheta. The Gemara famously brings down, and the Tzivo Shalom brings it down constantly to show the power of Shabbos. Chazal say, Mamish black on white, that anybody who keeps Shabbos Kilchasa, a person who keeps Shabbos halachically, and it's not easy to do, it's very hard to do. The Mishnah Berurah in the introduction to the Chelek of Mishnah Berurah on Hilchos Shabbos himself says, the Chafetz Chaim says, that it is incredibly difficult to keep Shabbos. Keeping the 39 Malachos is very hard. And if the Chafetz Chaim thought that, Kal v'chomer for us. But a person who mamish keeps Shabbos entirely, halachically, but also the assays, and also living it and breathing it and connecting to it. But a person who does such a thing, that may be very hard, but a person who does such a thing, afilu avar avodah zarah kedor enosh mochalin lo. Even if the person did the worst avodah zarah in the history of the world, you can be mochel for it. You can get forgiveness for that if you just keep Shabbos. Not like let's all keep on Shabbos and braid challah. That's not what we're talking about. Meaning like they do that worldwide challah thing. Like that is beautiful, and I'm not dissing it. I'm saying, but that's not what we're talking about. It's not a nice feel good thing. We're talking about really the avoda of learning all of Hilchos Shabbos, learning all of the essays, learning the Hashkafa of Shabbos. If you mamish live a real Shabbos, it can wash away anything inside. It can take away anything. You can somehow get back to a HaKadosh Baruch Hu like that, through Shabbos. That's the strength of Shabbos that's being brought out here. Shekoach HaShabbos Kodesh magen al Yehudi af matzavim agrim biyoter. That Shabbos Kodesh protects a Jew even in the worst situations. I'm doing al chaitz now. They told us that we're not supposed to talk about so much what's going on in the matzav, but just to tell you like what it means in the way like I connect to it. There was a WhatsApp that went out on Friday at 5 o'clock. Shabbos started at 6. That they were packaging up food into a truck at 5 o'clock to send to an army base on Dolev. I was coming out. I go to the mikveh every Shabbos, so I had to come out of the mikveh, and I was in pants and just a t-shirt. That was it. I was in pants and a t-shirt, and I jumped on my scooter and I went down. And again, maybe I was wrong for thinking this, maybe I'm wrong for saying this, but like just to for me, like it seemed like it was very likely erev Shabbos that there was going to start a ground invasion on Motzei Shabbos, which didn't happen yet. But it seemed like it. a ground invasion, troops on the ground going into to wipe out Hamas. And I'll tell you the reason that like I as I was riding my scooter at 50 kamash down and I alone, there were tears streaming down my face. I was like, yes, it's an hour to Shabbos, and yes, this house is not ready, and yes, but like, this could be some of these people's last Shabbos. How could I not help them get homemade food and have the reality of Shabbos, to have this teva before they walk into this Gehenna? What could I be doing at home that's even comparable to making sure that they have a little bit of the taste of, that these people who cooked for them, that they have a taste of Shabbos? It's a teva. It's a teva that I've never had to describe before, that I never had the words to describe before that Friday, before a few days ago. And it's just packing, just grabbing it and going and going. Your madrichah was there. Fast. And so we were running up and down the stairs with like 20 other people and just packing it on. And it was interesting. There was evidently this like rumor that there was like some soldiers that were staying in like the matnas around here, and they were like, "Yeah, we're going to the matnas to drop it off on Dolev." And I'm like, "There's no way." I went to the driver. I was like, "Do you want me to scoot up to Dolev and help you unpack?" And he was like, "We're going to an army base. Just don't say anything." And no, he's like, I mean, I don't know if that meant they were driving. I don't know what the matzah was. I don't know what the psak was. I don't know anything about that. But like, we just like, how could you not? Shabbos is a teva. Right. Same thing, but different. Like again, and I apologize. If I'm doing the wrong thing, and you can report me to Rav Rosner, and he'll fire me. But we said we're going to be real here, and this is what's going on. I'm not going to talk about it in a way of that's like scary or like I'm not going to make promises. I'm not going to talk about like evidently like somebody said that I talked about Gog and Magog. I didn't talk about that. Whatever, fine. But in terms of like just being real in this way, like last Shabbos, I mean, especially like all of our WhatsApps are on fire, and I don't even have what you guys have. I don't have Facebook. Neither do you. I know I'm old. I never had Facebook. I don't have Facebook. I don't have Instagram. I don't have TikTok. I don't have any of these things. And all of our phones are on fire all the time. And on top of that, I'm getting students. Can I go here? Can I do that? And from staff members, should we plan this? Should we plan that? And then came 6 o'clock, and I turned it off. And it was like an island. Like everything just went quiet. And all of us have had an instance, I'm sure, in our lives where we felt the impact of having the beauty of Shabbos and having that silence and presence. And having that silence and presence. But I felt it in the most intense way last Friday. To feel the quiet. To feel the quiet and to feel the silence. Shabbos is a teva in a way that we've never experienced before. Shabbos is a place we go to. Let's get out of the intensity of the particular moment that we're in right now. In the craziness of life, to stop. Shabbos is a teva. When you think about even the examples that we gave, if you think about people who are running around on campus, and they're on a campus where it is challenging, and there's pretzels everywhere, and there's shiot everywhere, and there's disgusting things going on, and it's not a place for a ben Torah, a bat Torah to be. And then you get all the Jews coming together, all of the frum Jews coming together, and they go into one apartment or one dorm room, and on a Friday night, when every Avera ever invented in the history of humanity is happening on that campus. Guaranteed. Everyone, they have a checklist. They close the door and you sing Shalom Aleichem, Eish Eschayil. You say Kiddush on a coast. You turn off all those devices. How often do we talk to people anymore? Back in the day, we used to have conversations and stuff. You could ask your grandparents, right? We used to have conversations. And we're all talking with our fingers all the time. We're all talking, mini rant, we're all talking in voice notes. Voice notes are a maisa satan. I'm sure of it. Voice notes are the worst. Because we've started now voice note conversations. I think it's really big, it's so destructive. I think it's even worse than the typing.
What are voice notes? I have something to say to you in conversation. So how am I doing that? By saying everything that I want to say until I'm done, hitting send, and I'll listen to your response when I'm ready. What?
But you don't. But people can leave 4, 5, 6 minutes voice notes sometimes.
It's really not that bad.
Because you're used to it.
No, not voice noting, but I've had many conversations with people.
But I would claim that getting used to the cadence of conversation. I'm giving you something to reflect on. I think the cadence of conversation where I say everything that I want to say, where there's no human interaction and back and forth, and I'm not watching how you're responding, or if you're totally not responding because you feel uncomfortable, or whatever the case may be, right? Where there's no eye contact, there's no movement, there's no back and forth, where I just say everything I want to say. I think that there is... I don't think that it was designed that way, but I think that it's turned into a way of where conversations become one-sided, and not that the person has ego for doing it, but the conversation is egotistical because I'm saying what I want to say. There's no back and forth. There's no communication. There's nothing from one heart to another heart. It's totally distant. People wrote letters back in the day. So you can say at least text to text, how much are you possibly typing out? A lot sometimes. But generally speaking, like, how much are you typing out? But the conversation, the dialogue is gone. It's not the same. I would claim it's not the same. And we stop and we sit at a table. When was the last time, other than on a Shabbos or a Yontif, that you sat at a table with your phone off and talked to other human beings for 2 hours straight? Like, that's at a meal. Are you crazy? Shabbos is a teva. When those 10 Jews on that campus get together and close that door on Friday night, they're mamish in a teva. It's an incredible thing. And you think about the opportunities there to connect with the Kadosh Baruch Hu, talking to other people. Not only that, we get together and we just sing. Like, that's crazy when you think about it in context. Imagine tomorrow night you just go into the Chadar Ochel, you get what will definitely be chicken of some variation, okay? And you sit down at a table in here and you just start singing with the people around you. Everyone realizes you're crazy. And you're getting that response from me right now in real time, right? And it's great and it's beautiful, but it's so, like, it's unusual. People generally don't do that. You're very special, I get that.
Well,
but it's unusual. One second. We come together and we sit and we talk. We sing Shalom Aleichem. We invite the Malachim to come in with us. We send them off because they don't belong at the table. We're about to eat and enjoy elevated food and they can't eat. So we say goodbye to them. Ishes Chayil. We sing either to, as a man, to my wife, who made all the food and took care of everything, and also all of us sing Yesh Chayil, who sing Yesh Chayil, we sing to the Shabbos Queen. We're singing to Shabbos. Yesh Chayil on the inside. We say Kiddush. Borei Pri Hagafen so slowly, like we never say. We wash our hands. How does it even remember if we washed our hands, let alone how long we took to wash our hands before we eat bread? Everybody washes. We sit together, Hamotzi, we pass it out. Different courses, shmoozing, Zmiros, Divrei Torah. It's Mamish Ateva. It's Mamish Ateva. It's a wild thing. It's an ark. And the world continues to storm around us outside. And the sins continue to swarm around us outside. But Shabbos is this Teva that's so beautiful. If we engage it. If we relate to it that way, we need to keep Shabbos. We need to relate to Shabbos. We need to get into Shabbos. But Shabbos has that potential. If we get into it. If we say Shalom Aleichem. We don't even before it starts, we're like, no, it didn't come in, but like, let's bring it in. How do you say to receive in Hebrew? Lekabel. Kabbalat Shabbat. What's going on such a thing? There's no Kabbalat Yom Tov. We sing to bring it in. We daven. We say Shalom Aleichem, Ishes Chayil, Kiddush, Hamotzi. We eat. We enjoy ourselves. Some of the most special moments in my life were at my Rebbe's house on Friday night. In my life. His meals go 3-4 hours. And if I could go every week, I would go every week. You walk into his house and then there's
it's beautifully set up, and you're schmoozing, and he likes to. My Rebbe, whenever he schmoozes, it's always Torah, but you have to figure out how it is Torah. You got to figure it out. That's the way that he works. But there's schmoozing at the beginning, even though it's all Torah. And then at some point, you never know when, the lights go out. And it's always great. There's always some Shana Aleph kid there who's never been there before. That's the best. I was that Shana Aleph kid once. And you're like, what happened? Why are the lights up? And he always gets the same answer. Oh. So we can truly see. Whoa. And Baruch Hashem, Bli Ayin Hara has plenty of kids. And there's a lot of lights on the side.
The lights are off?
The lights go off, but the lights of Shabbos light up the room.
You're calling these kids lights of Shabbos?
No. Literally, there's like 15. There's like 15 candles. Lee and I already have a lot of kids. I'm not saying exactly how many, but there's like 15 candles over there. And the lights of Shabbos light up the room. And when the lights go out, the whole...
Wait, how does
the Shabbos light up? There's a Shabbos timer. He's from, don't worry. The lights go out, and you start to see with the Shabbos candles. And the light of Shabbos comes into the room. And then the singing starts, for real. And then everybody is asked to give a Dvar Torah. He says, say a Torah. Just say a Torah. I don't have anything to say. I don't know what to say. Whatever you say is good. Just say a Torah. Something you learn, something you care about. Anything in Torah. And you sing in Dvar Torah and sing in Dvar Torah. You don't even notice the hours pass. My mother always reminds me of this story. That in Shana Aleph she came to visit. And she said... She was saying it like one of the like on like the strip, one of the like not fanciest but fancy hotels on the strip in Yerushalayim by where I went to yeshiva in the old city. And she said, okay, so for Shabbos you'll come and eat in the hotel. I said, no. She said, why not? I said, you can eat hotel food any day of your life. How could you not come? You have to come. You have to come to Rav Yoel Shabbos table. You have to see it. And like you saw in her eyes, she was like, I don't know what's going on, but bring it on. Like. You're giving up hotel food? Are you okay? Are you sick? Is everything, what's going on? And I still remember that Shabbos with her at my Rebbe's house. I say this day, I remember that Shabbos. It was incredibly special. Shabbos is a teva. In our lives, wherever we're at. When we're in a difficult time, we're in a difficult place, you come together and you have Shabbos, you're living in Tevat Noach. Noach is Mamash Shabbos Kodesh. He is Shabbos. He's bringing the Chayin of Shabbos down. And you come and live in Shabbos, you live in the Tev of Noach. And if the world outside you is swirling, you go there. And also, if the world inside is swirling, you go there. It's a wild concept, but this is, it's every year, it's the same thing, again and again and again and again. You guys know what birthright is?
Yeah.
People come on birthright who their only connection to Judaism is birthright. Like, that's it. And they come to Israel, they come to visit, they see everything, they've never been here before, know nothing. And they ask them every single time, what was the most life-changing part of your trip? And every year, the highest response rate is eating Shabbos meal at a religious person's home. They see Matzara, they see the Kotel, they go to the north, they go to the south. And you know how gorgeous Eretz Yisrael is. And how life-changing Eretz Yisrael is. What was the most meaningful thing of your trip, non-religious Jew? Having a meal at some frum person's house on Shabbos Kodesh. Why? Because even when your internal world is falling apart, even when you're kulo, even when there's ra everywhere inside of you, Shabbos is a teva. And they don't even know how to say the words. But they know that they're living in a teva that they've never been in before in their whole life. My wife always says that it doesn't matter what it is. If a non-religious Jew comes to your house, homemade challah, hot chicken soup, done. That's all you need. That's all you need. And you feel it. You feel it. But that means also, lo alinu, lo alinu. And I mean this genuinely. Lo alinu, lo alinu. I know a story you should tell now. We're going to tell a story. Lolino, Lolino, if you're ever in a point in your life where you feel like you've drifted, you can always come back to Shabbos. So I'll tell you this story. I'm sure that I tell, I must tell this every year, and I must tell it in this piece. But I love this story. Because I was a stupid Shana Aleph kid. So when I was a stupid Shana Aleph kid, So I loved going to Rebbe for Friday night. So one time I said to him, I was like, Rebbe, I got to come to the Friday night dinner. And Rebbe said, no, Rabbi, not this week, you don't want to come. And he says, and I said, no, Rebbe, I got to come. And he goes, listen, I'm not going to tell you you can't come. I'm not going to turn you away. But I'm telling you, you don't want to come to Shabbos. I said, okay, I'm coming. Right. So I come Friday night. It was probably December time. It would make sense. January time. And the whole room was filled. His whole table was filled with not all of them, but Shana Bet boys from my year. I was my Shana Bet boys who were only staying half a year and were about to leave. They were about to go home after a year and a half was more common by boys back then. And so they stayed for half a year, and they were going to go out back after half a year. Not all the guys, but some of the guys who went back after a year. And in the middle of the meal, he started to play the Shabbos game. What was the Shabbos game? They had to come up with any concept, anything that they would say in Torah. They would say a concept, a name, a person, whatever it was. And he would show how it all goes back to Shabbos. They would say Shimshon, he would get it back to Shabbos. Shornagach, get it back to Shabbos. Didn't matter what it was. And he would get it back to Shabbos, and they would laugh, like, oh, okay, fine, Rebbe. What? And I'm like, these guys are laughing because it's a joke. I'm sitting here every Tuesday night in this house at Chlub, singing my heart out and hearing the stories and the Chassidus and the Torah and the Kabbalah. And I was like totally bought in. I was like, I'm an idiot. I'm totally gullible. I'm watching these Shana Bet guys laugh it all off because the whole time it was a joke. I got fooled. I'm an idiot. It was a joke. And I was heartbroken. Heartbroken. So the next week, I avoided my Rebbe because I was like really hurt. And he comes up to me at one where we ended up at the front door of the yeshiva at the same time, a few days later. And he says, no, Rabbi, come on. What's bothering you? I said, nothing. He said, Rabbi, I know you. What's bothering you? I said, fine. I was totally into this. I came to Chug, I came to the Friday nights, and I just feel like an idiot. That this whole thing was a joke. The whole thing was a joke. He said, Rabbi, I told you not to come. I said, what do you mean? What's the difference? He said, don't tell anybody. I know this is years and years and years later. I don't think the statute of limitations is passed. Right? He said, don't tell anybody. He said, but I'm telling you. The guys who came to my table, he said, I've been doing this for many, many, many years, and I'm telling you 100%, the guys who I had at my table this Friday night are all guys who within 2 or 3 months from now are all going to be off the derech. You're looking at them like these are super from, flipped out Shana Bet guys. I'm telling you, the guys that were at the table that Shabbos, they're all not going to be from in a few months.
How does he know?
Because he knows. I know you're like, Donna Kuskla. We've done this already. You're Shana Bet. We know. Yes, we've done this already for you. Okay? He said that. I'm not questioning my Rebbe. He said, I'm telling you, based on my experience, I don't think he means every single one. Okay, but the point was, he was like, I've done this. This is what's going to happen to these guys. So why did I have them come to my Shabbos? I said, well, why did I play this game with them? I made it out like it was a joke. But it's not a joke. Everything was back to Shabbos. It's very serious. And why did I do that? Because Shabbos is so powerful. And I'm telling you, I'm not just being mechanic for right now. I'm not mechanic to Shana Aleph Shana Bet. I'm trying to be mechanic for life. And what I'm hoping is, and this is very possible, that after they go off the derech and all, they go so far away and they fall away and all that's going to happen. A few months from now, a year from now, 2 years from now, 3 years from now, however many years it is, somebody's going to say, what about having a Shabbos meal? And they're going to say, you know what? It's funny. I had this Rav, and he always linked everything back to Shabbos. And he says, and that's going to be their first step back to a Kaddish Baruch Hu. Those were the seeds he was planting at that meal. Shabbos is a teva. And hold that tight. Because there will be storms in your life. I think that's fair to say. You're still a rule. Nature of life. There will be storms in life. There will be challenges in your life. Lo aleinu, for most of us, nature of reality. We're going to sin and we're going to make mistakes. And there's tshuva for that. But we're going to feel like garbage and we're going to feel like nothing. Where do you go? You go to Shabbos. I'm going to have Shabbos. Yeah. You're going to have Shabbos. You're going to light Shabbos candles. You're going to bake the food. You're going to get everybody together. And you're going to get them to that teva. And you're suddenly going to look at all of that ra and all of that hashchata. You're going to look through the window of the ark from the inside in Shabbos and say, wow, I can still say Kiddush. I can still say Amotzi. I can still sing Zmiros. I can still feel connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Because ultimately that's what Shabbos is. We haven't even touched on that part of it yet. That's what Shabbos is. Shabbos is a totally physical day. On Shabbos, on the one hand, you can't do anything. 39 things you can't do. But what do you do? What's the assays of Shabbos? Oneg Shabbos. Kavod Shabbos. We light up the room with candles. You have to have 3 seudas. The mitzvah is to eat. Mitzvah is to eat. Mitzvah for married couples to be close to each other. Physicality on Shabbos. Why? Because all the physical gets elevated on Shabbos. The food that you eat on Shabbos isn't the food of the week. The speech that you have on Shabbos isn't the speech of the week. The relationship you have on Shabbos isn't the relationship of the week. It's a whole different thing. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is so close on Shabbos. The physical becomes spiritual on Shabbos. If we just open ourselves up to it. And then boom, we're in the teva. We're in a bubble of spirituality. We're in a bubble with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We're in a bubble of Kedusha, of Tahara. And it doesn't matter what's happening outside of the world or outside of myself. I'm living in Kedusha. Back inside. We're on the bottom line of the first column. Shabbos Kodesh hi b'vchinat tevat Noach ha-magina mimei ha-mabul. Shabbos Kodesh is an aspect of the teva of Noach, which saves you from the waters of the Mabul. Ukedita, as it says, Shabbos Kodesh nafshos Yisrael b'tzel kanafecha yechsayim. In Shabbos, the souls of Klal Yisrael, we stay in the shadow in the shade of the Shabbos Kodesh. It protects us. Shabbos Kodesh hitevat Noach asher b'tzel kanafecha yechsayim. Shabbos Kodesh is that teva that we go and we can receive that teva. No matter how crazy things are outside, no matter how crazy things are inside, we can go to the teva of Shabbos. Uvikocha, and through its power, Nitzol Yehudi mikol hamatzavim. A Jew can be saved from anything. Af me'elu shem b'vchinat Dor Mabul. Even from a situation of Dor Mabul, you can mamish be in the generation of Noach. You can mamish be in the most disgusting, horrible, challenging, awful, tomadic situation. And you, yes, should you have ever gotten there? No, you should have never been there in the first place. But how do you get out? Where do you go? You go to the teva. You go to the teva. Hold this one tight. For those of you who look like you're spacing out a little bit, come back to me for a second. There's going to be a time where you're going to need a teva. And when that time comes, and it's Erev Shabbos, even if you have no faith in yourself or your surroundings, get into Shabbos. It will save your life. It saved Noach. It saved the whole world. Because without Noach, none of us would be here. It will save your life. V'abior bazeh ki Shabbos Kodesh imakorat veikut ben Yisrael l'Hashem Yitbarach. And the reason for this is that Shabbos Kodesh, it's the source, it's the root of the connection between Klal Yisrael and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. B'vchinat dira batachtonim. It's a reality where, again, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is everything, like we talked about, the physical on Shabbos becomes spiritual. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu is kulo, he's not physical. There's no physicality by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He's coming and connecting here in the way because the physicality becomes spiritual. There's a closeness to HaKadosh Baruch Hu you feel on Shabbos that you don't feel during the week. That's the will of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that he should have a place to live down here. Pinatora, a little corner that's pure. All he needs is a little corner that's pure. You can mamish do anything if you have that. Afilu imhu kedor mabul kedor enosh v'zeh koach haShabbos Kodesh. The whole world around you could be black with sin. You have one little corner that's pure. All you need is one little corner that's pure. And you start there. and it spreads, and it goes out, and it expands. That Shabbos comes and takes over your whole life. It has the power to do that. A lot of Rebbe stories tonight. I feel like I need to call him now. One of the things that my Rebbe said to me, again, when he's talking, that seems like stomp talking, it's all Torah. Then when he tells Torah, that's the worst, because it's only riddles. You spend your whole life trying to figure out. If you ever ask him a question, he gives you an answer that doesn't mean anything to you, and then you spend your whole life trying to figure it out. Once, I don't know if I asked the question, if he just brought it up. No, he just brought this up one time randomly. We were schmoozing together. He goes, Robbie, I'm going to answer the question. What do you think HaKadosh Baruch Hu was doing before he created the world? Which I don't know. I'm in Shana Bet now, but I don't know. He's like, he says, what was HaKadosh Baruch Hu doing before he created the world? I said, I don't know. I have no idea. You tell me. Pashut. He said, it's obvious. Pashut. Before the first day, he was eating shalosh chips. And there's a lot to unpack there, and that's not for now. There's a lot to unpack. But the point is that the point to bring one element, one aspect to bring out of that, which you can spend your whole life unpacking, and I'm still spending my life unpacking it. One second. Shh. It didn't mean it literally. He was in Shalashuddis. Maybe he said he was in Shalashuddis. He was in Shalashuddis. What does that mean? On one level, and the Sfarim all bring this down for sure, that the world was only meant to be 6 days long. We're talking about the Derech Shemosa. The world was only meant to be 6 days long. Adam Rishon comes down, he fulfills one mitzvah, doesn't eat the fruit, succeeds, he did the one mitzvah, on to Olam Haba, the end. And he sins, and because he sins, the world is not able to come to a conclusion. But when HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, how much life did he put in the world? How many days worth? Seven, that's it. Seven. So where does the world get the koach to keep going? And all the Sfarim bring this down. The life force of every single week comes from the Shabbos before. That Shabbos gives birth and life to the new week. That's one of the reasons why there is a mitzvah on Motzei Shabbos, one of the reasons, plural, where there's a mitzvah on Motzei Shabbos to have not just one meal, not just two dash lishit. There's Sudar Ravit, there's Malava Malka. Malava Malka doesn't mean singing and dancing, it doesn't necessarily mean pizza. It can be other stuff. Right? Malava Malka means that right after Shabbos you sit down and you eat because you keep it going. But what are you keeping on going? You're drawing out Shabbos. My Rebbe once said, this is a whole night of Rav'yo, I don't know what's going on. It's just flowing. Right? What? No. Rav'yo. My Rebbe, where is Rav'yo? My Rosh Hashiva is Rabina, my Rebbe's Rav'yo. My Rebbe. So it doesn't matter. So Rav Yoel, he told me, we once talked about this. He said so beautifully. He says, what does Malava Malka mean? So he said that most people think of Pshat. What's Malava Malka? Malava means to escort. What's a Malka? The queen. So what are you doing, Malava Malka? He says you're escorting the queen out. Shabbos dinner, you're having a meal to escort the queen out. He says, no. Chas v'shalom. Why is Malava Malka so important? Because you're escorting the Shabbos queen into the next week. Because how are you going to live without Shabbos? How can you live without Shabbos? The purpose of having Malava Malka is that you're escorting the queen into the next week. I remember that after that Shana Bet, when I had the conversation with him, I was in Marsha BMP. And there was a guy there who was a real, like, anything that was spiritual was like far, like there was like do not compute, like wasn't happening. And it says in Shulchan Aruch, when you have Malava Malka, you're escorting out the queen. And I said, yeah, you're escorting the queen out into the week. He said, no, you're escorting it out because it's over. It's what the Shulchan Aruch says. And I'd already gotten a little bit of Rebbe in me. And I was like, that's totally fine. It's great, we'll have Malava Malka together. You'll escort her out. And I'll take her and I'll bring her into the week. It's like, no, that's not what it is. It's like, you know, but to understand, to have that mentality that the whole life of the week, this teva. And what he's saying here is, and this is why I got into this. If you have that little corner of purity called Shabbos, it's not just for those 25 hours. That little corner of purity can come out. It comes out into the week. It comes out into your life. It transforms. It changes your life. When your mom is living in Shabbos, it's a teva that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us as the biggest gift. is the Teva of Shabbos. Yeah.
So why isn't Shabbos the beginning of
it? It is. It's the culmination, and there's two realities. There's more than two realities. There's at least these two sides to Shabbos. On the one hand, Shabbos is the culmination of everything that occurred during the week, and it's also the seeds of everything that come during the week. It's both sides. That's why we say that Shabbos is both zecher lemaaseh bereishit. Shabbos is remembering the creation. That's all the way back to the beginning. But it's also me'ein olam haba. Olam haba is all the way at the end. How is it both? Because the one is wrapping up everything that came before, but also leading into everything that comes next.
First day.
No, which is Shabbos Kodesh. That's Shabbos Kodesh.
First day.
But it gives, that's the plus I'm trying to say, but it gives life to the whole new week that comes after. The whole life of the week comes from Shabbos Kodesh. The only way it can exist is by drawing to life from Shabbos Kodesh. There are more tevas here. We'll see. Maybe tomorrow we'll learn another teva. But for now, either way, to realize that again, the Torah doesn't give over anything stam. It's not telling us stories. It's telling us how to live life. Life will have its storms. And whether you're left, there's a storm is raging outside or the storm is raging within. Shabbos is there for us. It's mamish a teva. Noach is Bechina Shabbos. One of the songs of Shabbos. Yona Matzavo Manoach. Thank you. But the point, I genuinely didn't see that coming, but I should have. But meaning there's clearly like one of the zmiros of Shabbos is all talking about Noach and the Mabul and the Tevash. It's, but think about that for a second. One of the zmiros of Shabbos is talking about Noach and the Yonah and the Tevash. Why? Because Noach, again, on a deep level, Noach is bringing out a reaction. Give me another minute. Noach is bringing out a reality of Shabbos. We should all be zocha that if we need a teva, a Kadosh Baruch Hu should bless us that we always have the teva of Shabbos.
Amen.
Kadosh Baruch Hu, yes, mamash give the teva of Shabbos to all of those who are standing out there and mamash need it more than any of us could ever need it and we've ever felt in our lives.
Amen.
And even when we don't need it, dafka maybe when we don't need it, don't forget the gift of the teva of Shabbos Kodesh. Dafka, when the storm isn't raging, and we're not just surviving, and we're not just trying to get our life back, but dafka in the weeks when we don't need that, to mamish live Shabbos and live that teva in a way where we're able to just glide into a week that has the kedusha of Shabbos lighting it up and giving it life. That's Rosh Hashanah by all of us.